Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. They'll beat you, bash you, squish you, mash you, chew you up for brunch, and finish you off for dinner or lunch.
Okay. I'm Lynn Scher here with Amy Holmes, and we are giggling because, do you remember that movie? It was called, guess what? Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. And for those of you who are about to Google it, it was 1978. We've already checked for you. So, today is Wednesday, which means we talk about all things edible. And there is usually nothing more edible in August than tomatoes. I live for tomatoes in August. But this year, it's been really frustrating. A tomato blight has hit crops in the Northeast, and you can't hardly find a good tomato right now. For a look at what's behind this year's tomato blight, we are joined by Dan Barber. He is the chef and co-owner of restaurants Blue Hill and Blue Hill at Stone Barns in Westchester, New York. We're also joined by our friend, tomato lover Melissa Clark, food writer for the New York Times, and she is here to talk tomato substitutes, and she's brought some food along. And first of all, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And before we move on, and I want to go right to you, Dan, but I have to tell you, there's a great fragrance in this studio.
Oh, it smells delicious.
Every time Melissa comes, she's brought us, well, we'll wait till we get to you, Melissa. She's brought
keep
us something
in suspense.
To keep you in suspense to show you how to deal without tomatoes. But first, Dan, what happened? This is blight, right? What's going on?
This is the year of blight. It's late blight is a disease that...
Say that one more time.
Late blight is a disease
No,
that
no.
Attacks.
What's the name of the blight?
What's that?
What kind of blight is it?
It's called late blight.
It's just late, L-A-T-E.
That's it.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a disease that attacks tomatoes and potatoes, and it usually appears even later in the season, usually at the start of September was when it's full-blown. This year... it happened much earlier. It's a disease that is dependent on a lot of rain and not so hot weather, which is what we've had a lot of this summer.
Absolutely.
And it appeared first sort of late June, early July in ways that we have not seen for a long, long time.
And in fact, let's do a little history here. Is this not the exact same blight that caused the potato famine, that caused the great wave of Irish immigrants around the turn of the 19th century?
It's the very same thing. In fact, there are a lot of parallels between the two. I mean, the virulence of it in some ways, and this is according to plant pathologists, this year's disease hit even faster and with a kind of strength that rivaled the famine.
And does this affect all tomatoes out there right now?
It affects all tomatoes, yes. It doesn't affect tomatoes that are grown in greenhouses.
Okay.
For the most part. So the tomatoes that you are getting at your local farmer's market are either grown in a greenhouse or they're sprayed with a fungicide, which is the only known cure for the disease.
Uh-oh, you have to really love your tomatoes. We're talking with Dan Barber, the chef and co-owner of restaurants Blue Hill and Blue Hill at Stone Barns in Westchester, New York. And by the way, you might, of course, remember his name because when the president and his wife came to New York for their famous dinner date, they ate at his Blue Hill restaurant in the Village. So let me move on to Melissa now. Melissa, you've also noticed the tomato shortage, right?
Oh, I've been suffering. Yeah, we all have.
We're all just so sad. But you've figured out there are ways to have tomato-less meals and make it pretend as if you're tasting tomatoes?
Well, I mean, you're never going to substitute that flavor of a tomato. It's especially a ripe summer tomato is unique. But I get cravings for things that I build around tomatoes. And what I brought you guys today is it's a BLP. So instead of bacon, lettuce, and tomato, I've used plums in there because plums have that same juiciness as a tomato, except they're a little sweeter and obviously they have a different flavor. But you get that same juicy like burst. And I added a little bit of nectarine in there, too, because nectarines are another stone fruits are great tomato substitutes.
And Melissa Clark is the food editor, food writer at The New York Times.
Exactly.
And I, for one, feel free to talk, Amy.
You're going to talk and eat.
No, I'm not going to talk and eat. I'm going to take a bite of my BLP, and I'll tell you how it is, Amy, and then you can have a taste
of it. Oh, terrific. So, Melissa, you write in your piece that the BLP you think is just as good as a BLT. I mean, I find that heresy and in fact, very hard to believe.
It's okay. It's a different animal entirely. It's not. I mean,
it's fabulous.
It's good, right? Yeah. It's not. It's not a tomato. But, I mean, if you think about it, you know, what the most important ingredient in there really is the bacon. And I use really thick cut, good bacon.
Mm.
And fruit and pork is a classic combination, right?
Oh,
I mean,
right.
You cut, so if you think
melon
about
melon and prosciutto.
Melon and prosciutto, peaches and pork chops. I mean, there's all kinds of recipes that use fruit and pork. So it wasn't that much of a leap to make
it. It's
sandwich
really
work.
Good. And Amy, feel free. You may now have a
now
bite.
It's your
well,
turn.
I've chewed on camera in front of the microphone, and you can do it too. So, Melissa, what else can you use to substitute for tomatoes? Nothing is a substitute for tomatoes.
Right.
Let's agree with that, right?
Right.
But agree on that. But so you put plums and nectarines in this little BLP, which is a very clever idea.
Wow, that's delicious.
What else can you use to substitute or to put in place of tomatoes?
Well, you know, this is interesting. I went to a dinner party the other night, and I had been thinking about using stone fruit, and also I'd heard that watermelon was a great tomato substitute, and I have made gazpacho with tomatoes and watermelon. And someone had brought this gorgeous salad that was peaches and watermelon cubed up with some cheese and some basil. And, you know, it didn't taste like tomatoes, but when you put it on your plate and you're eating it with your grilled steak, it had that same, it kind of took the place of it. It had the same juiciness that you want with meat or with anything
refreshing.
On the plate. It was very refreshing. It was very clean tasting. It was invigorating. And so I thought, no, that is the perfect substitution, is to use either watermelon or stone fruit or a combination. And I've got a couple of other ideas also.
Melissa Clark, food writer for the New York Times. And let me just go back down to Dan Barber, chef co-owner of restaurants Blue Hill and Blue Hill at Stone Barns in Westchester, New York. Dan, how has this affected your menu and what you're doing?
Well, first of all, I'm going to take some ideas from Melissa. So,
oh, good. I love that.
Do, so it's not,
take away. Excellent.
It's affected for the better, as she's done in the past. So that's one. Two, I'm not actually cutting down on tomatoes as much as I had thought I might a few weeks ago. I mean, they're still around. Blue Hill Farm, which is where I am right now, is growing about 1,000 pounds of tomatoes a week under a greenhouse, under a hoop house, and we haven't been affected.
So greenhouse tomatoes, Dan, are okay, is what you're saying.
Greenhouse tomatoes are okay, and tomatoes,
I mean, and taste okay, too.
They taste quite good, actually. It's not the best year because it hasn't been hot enough or enough sun, which tomatoes love. But tomatoes grown out in the fields in certain parts of the Northeast are also pretty good. They're going to be sprayed and sprayed pretty heavily. And if you have a problem with that, then you probably want to avoid tomatoes this year, which is quite sad. But there are a lot of people who say that if sprayed correctly, you know, there's no systemic damage, which is to say it doesn't stay in the plant long enough to affect you.
Okay, I hate the thought of giving up tomatoes, but we'll take everything you said under advisement. Dan Barber, great chef, Melissa Clark from the New York Times, takeaway friend, thanks to both of you.
And you've made me a believer in the BLP. This is Amy Holmes.
I'm Lynn Scher.
You're listening to The Takeaway.